All righty, our guest this hour is Ed from Beacon Pest Control, and Ed is in the house.
Hey, good morning.
In the hizzy for shizzy. It's always nice to have you in the studio.
Well, thank you.
How you been, man?
Pretty good, actually.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, better than I deserve.
Your head's looking nice today.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice head of hair.
I'm sporting that 64-year-old hairdo.
Right. Yeah. We could be twins. Twinsies.
<about. laughs>
So, Beacon Pest Control, family-owned and operated. You've been serving Grace Harbor County since 1990. No pressure, no gimmicks, no hassles, no nonsense. You come in once a month to kind of give us some updates on the pests that we're constantly battling, it seems.
Yeah, we got some interesting stuff here this month. I think it's interesting, but
right.
I'm the bug guy. So.
Yeah. Is it safe to say like a bug geek or no?
I'm not quite that far over the edge. Yeah.
Okay, the giant hornet. They used to call it the Asian giant hornet, but now they renamed it.
Yes,
right?
There's right. A lot of that going on.
Right, a lot of renaming. But anyway, where are we at with
that? Well, they've had a pretty good results with the control of that insect,
and
this makes our third year. So that's usually the benchmark is if we get through 3 years without finding one of these hornets, then chances are they've actually succeeded in eradicating it here in the West. So, that's good news for us.
But if I do find one, do I call you?
Actually, you need to contact Ag, but you can certainly call us and we'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of things that can be mistaken for hornets.
Right. I assume that happens a lot.
Well, if it's
a black widow, but it's not, or a brown recluse.
Yeah, if you wake up in the morning and you've got a itchy, scratchy something, it's bed bugs.
I'm sure we'll talk bed bugs here later, right? If we have time.
Well, not today.
Okay. We
may get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I wanted to touch on here is that there's a lot of there's a lot of ant activity that takes place in the spring, and people don't really think about ants and wasps as being related, but the ants are kind of the I should say wasps are the progenitors of ants.
Mm-hmm.
So the ants share a lot of common characteristics with wasp, and the most common wasp that we encounter here is our local yellow jacket.
You know? Right.
So
they're mean. Hey, we got a phone call. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Right off the bat.
Hey, good morning, Ed. Happy New Year, plants and ants. So I water my tropical plants monthly. They're pretty dry by then, but I learned this online that you just kind of like let the water sprayer go through there for a while and go away. But the next morning after watering my ficus, I had those little tiny, I think you call them smelt, the little tiny things on my counter. They had to have been in the ficus plant.
Okay.
And then come out as I watered. So anyway, today I'm going to experiment with the rest of my tropical plants and see if I can't catch the... because I haven't seen an ant, but it's warm in my apartment and it's a nice dry spot, or maybe it's not that dry. But anyway, so I had ants yesterday, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's
ants? Are they called smell ants?
Odorous house ant is the most common, but
they're just little fellers.
Yeah. So they
they dawn spray up nicely and then they're gone. So.
Okay. That's actually a subject that I wanted to talk about here this morning. Is that
all right? All right. Well, you have a good day, and I'll listen off there.
Sure.
All right, bye.
So we don't think about it, but a lot of invasive species that come into the country actually come in plants and potting soil. Mm-hmm. And it's led to some kind of surprising guests that have taken a residence in our country. So odorous house ants, they can be transported in potting soil and they get into the plants when they're sitting in the warehouse or they can actually move into your house. They're not too particular, but if they've got the right conditions, they'll set up camp in your potted plants. So, one thing that happens when we're dealing with odorous house ants, and this is kind of new information to those of us who've been at this for a while. When you start treating for odorous house ants, of course, we've always told folks don't spray them. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure you use bait if you're going to do anything. Well, the odorous house ant, when you start treating it and you start stressing the colony, all of the workers in the colony are female, and apparently the workers can go from being non-reproductive. And, you know, they do lay eggs, but usually the eggs are kind of like a food resource that they feed to the developing young. Mm-hmm. They can actually start laying viable eggs, and the workers then will produce new queens. Mm-hmm. And so you get this big influx because you've got, instead of having one queen laying eggs, you've got a whole bunch of workers that are laying eggs. They're becoming ants. And, there's like this little population boom in response to the stress. So, you know, we often tell clients that when we start treating for odorous house ants, that it gets worse before it gets better. Now we know why.
Okay.
So,
if you have any pest questions for Ed from Beacon Pest Control, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. What's the difference between a South American fire ant and a European fire ant?
Well,
other than the
origin,
locations.
Yeah.
That's it? Is it
no,
the same
actually,
ant in different locations?
No.
No, you're like, no way.
No.
Okay.
So the South American fire ant was imported into the southern states many years ago, so most of us have heard of fire ants in Florida and Texas and places like that. There is a, so those ants are evolved to live in a very warm climate, and so they really haven't expanded, up into the northern tier. The European fire ant, on the other hand, they're native, pretty much from Ireland to Siberia, and they do sting. You know, they have a sting just like an Argentine fire ant, even though they're not, you know, immediately adjacent to each other genetically. Mm-hmm. The insect was imported into the Northeast, was probably they believe it was brought in through plants and trade. Apparently back the early 1900s, about 1918 or so, they discovered them on the East Coast, and they're a real bane. They're a real bane in Maine. The state of Maine has the distinction of having the largest number of colonies, and so they've got the greatest amount of research on this insect. However, they've turned up in Washington State.
Oh.
And there's only two locations that we're aware of. Seattle, of course, because it's an import hub. Mm-hmm. Apparently they made it to one of the islands, and a kayaker discovered them accidentally. He'd paddled up to an island and, you know, found a place to take a break for a while and quite literally sat on a colony. Hmm. They got his attention real quick, but that was our first real encounter with the European fire ant. Mm-hmm. So the key there is they are here. We need to be aware of them, and there's things that we as homeowners can do to make sure that we don't spread them around.
How do I know if I have fire ants?
Usually the first sign is somebody gets bit. The ant is it's a red ant. It's about 3/16 of an inch long, mm-hmm. and has a pretty powerful sting. Mm-hmm. If you encounter them, it's always a good idea if they're infesting something like your home. They don't go out of their way to bite us. That's mm-hmm. just not what they do. What they What they spend their time doing is tending aphids and scale bugs and other insects to provide them with the sugary sweets that they like. And of course, they scavenge other insects for food. Mm-hmm. But the if you have something that's infested, then contact a professional pest control operator and have them positively identify it.
We're going to talk more with Ed from Beacon Pest Control coming up here on Local Matters.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
There's a lot happening at Lucky Eagle Casino and Hotel. Come check out our new sports book at Legends Sports Bar, featuring a state-of-the-art self-serve beer wall, stadium-style menu, and, of course, sports betting. Or, if you're looking for something a little more intimate, look no further than the newly reopened Room 188 Steakhouse. It's the South Sound's perfect date night. Learn more at LuckyEagle.com.
Lucky Eagle.
A bond for Willapa Harbor Hospital, a public community-owned hospital, will be on the ballot February 2024 for voters in North Pacific County. If passed, this bond will bring a new community hospital to North Pacific County. This hospital would provide chemotherapy, orthopedics, cardiology, and other specialty care services. It will give space for more primary care physicians and offer more careers for the residents of North Pacific County. For more information, go to WillapaHarborHospital.com. Willapa Harbor Hospital, caring for you for life.
The Queen of Christmas is now the queen of every holiday with Mariah Carey's All I Want album.
All I want for Groundhog Day is early spring.
Mariah Carey has a song for every occasion.
All I want for Talk Like a Pirate Day is arg.
Easter, April Fool's, Flag Day, even Cinco de Mayo.
Todo lo que quiero para Cinco de Mayo.
No celebration is complete without the world's favorite holiday song.
All I want for Halloween is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Order today and receive a personalized birthday song.
All I want for my birthday is birthday sex.
Be prepared for every holiday imaginable with Mariah Carey's All I Want album.
All I want for Barbershop Quartet Day is you.
Here we are with Ed from Beacon Pest Control. Hey, okay, in a fight between fire ants and giant Asian hornets, who would win?
Probably the hornets.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little better armored, and the ants don't have a stinger that's long enough to inflict much damage on a wasp. So I think the wasp would prevail.
Oh, okay. So when is ant season?
Oh, you're in it now.
Okay.
As we start moving into spring, the moisture conditions are here. We've got enough warmth. We haven't really had a cold snap yet, ants, particularly the odorous house ant, is still moving around. Mm-hmm. The peak of the season is actually in summer, just like every other insect around here. But the odorous house ant is most prevalent this time of year.
What about moisture ants? Are they year round?
Well, they're for the most part napping off the winter. We don't generally encounter them unless somebody opens up a wall and we actually find damage.
When do we start to see them?
usually May to June.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that's just because the insects that they feed on become more prevalent. You know, the aphids and scale bugs are like at the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they're kind of the resource that all ants like to take advantage of because they're filled with sugary nectar, and ants treat them like cows. They just
I just got a text. In a fight between fire ants and Johnny, who takes the WWE belt?
I'm giving it to the ants.
Yeah. I just lay there.
No, when I was a kid living in Texas, we had a fire ant colony next door. And, of course, you know, at 4 years old, I didn't realize they were fire ants, so I thought it'd be fun to go and watch the ants. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that was a... interesting day in the emergency room with about a week of calamine.
But you learned.
I'm much smarter now. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you go after them, right?
That's right. I've been getting even with them for years.
Any bugs that like you're scared of?
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of desensitized from everything. You've seen it all.
I've seen a bunch of it, but
not all of it.
No, not all of it. Mm-hmm. No, people scare me more than insects do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Insects are predictable.
Right. Oh, boy. But can we... we can prevent many pests, but we can't prevent humans.
Okay, that's called birth control, but that's a different discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. When it comes to ants, prevention is key. Mm-hmm. Not providing resources that they can use.
Right.
Is the best way of limiting the number of ants that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. There are some folks that they like to grow peonies, the little flowers, and you don't really want to plant those next to the house because they need ants to germinate.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that we plant around our homes play a big role in how much ant activity we have. So we'll kind of slide off into integrated pest management here.
Okay.
Integrated pest management is kind of based on the idea that, there's like this three-legged stool. Food, water, shelter, something that every insect and virtually every animal needs. If you kick one of the legs out from under the stool, it falls down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the premise behind integrated pest management is that you take away the resources.
Right.
Okay.
But if you're, like, putting your dog food or cat food in the front porch or even in the house, right, long periods of time, that's kind of given them the food aspect,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of other food resources, I said, with ants, the presence of aphids is something that they really thrive on.
Yeah.
And plants that support aphids, if they're planted right next to the house, of course,
right,
they're going to increase the amount of ant activity you have.
So
right
don't
there.
Plant aphid loving plants next to your house.
Right? I know roses are popular. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Especially with the deer. But if you plant succulents, plants that the aphids would be attracted to, then absolutely the ants are going to be attracted to the aphids.
Okay. Are there plants that you are aware of that ants just hate? I wouldn't expect you to know this.
No. No.
Okay.
Generally speaking, you don't want to have a lot of plants right up against the foundation of your home because even if they're not attracting aphids, they're going to attract other things.
Right. So, kind of like the whole tree branches.
Right.
And the roof.
Yeah.
Right.
Because when you allow things to grow up against the house, you provide harborage for things like rodents.
Mm-hmm.
Mice and such don't like to be exposed to predation, and everything eats mice. Crows eat mice, hawks eat mice, foxes eat mice, coyotes eat mice.
Cats
eat mice. They're not real good at it, though. Cats tend to eat more shrews and birds than they do mice. But, so they... they like having that shelter right up against the house. And so, wood piles and plants and things like that, just generally a good idea to keep them. I'd like to see 10 feet, but, you know, if you get a couple of feet between the house, at least 5 feet, then you don't have that that level of activity that, and then you take away that resource from.
Do you do consultations like with home builders
Okay. Yeah. Well, home builders, typically it's homeowners.
Yeah.
Home builders, not so much.
Okay.
We do if we encounter a home builder that's doing something that's causing problems, we'll have a conversation with them. Some take it well, some don't.
Yeah.
But the,
because they really want those roses up near the house, right?
That's the landscaper, yeah.
Oh.
So the, landscapers are, if they're expert in their field, then they know not to put certain things up against the house. So there's certain kinds of mulch that they don't want to be using. They know not to bury the vents and to cover the siding and, because those are things that contribute to insect activity.
Okay. So what's next?
Well, that kind of deals with the issue of, the food and the shelter.
Mm-hmm. The two of the three legs. You have food, shelter,
and moisture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So, as I just mentioned, you don't want to have, topsoil or mulch that's mounted up over the, siding of your home because that will trap water in the siding and make it much more attractive to ants.
Mm-hmm.
And the moisture ant that we were talking about is right at the top of that list.
We'll continue this discussion with Ed from Beacon Pest Control after our bottom of the hour break on Local Matters. Good morning.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Investigators say the motive behind a deadly New Year's crash in Rochester, New York, remains unknown. The accident involved three vehicles, one of which exploded. First responders found at least a dozen canisters of gasoline in and around the car that exploded, which led investigators looking into the incident as potential terrorism. Officials said a 35-year-old suspect was killed in the crash. Five people are dead, more than a dozen hurt after two planes collided in Tokyo. Japan Airlines Flight 516 apparently collided with a Coast Guard aircraft as it was attempting to land this morning and streaked across a runway on fire. The airline says nearly 380 passengers and crew members were all able to evacuate, but at least 17 are injured. Shots were fired at a New Year's Eve party inside a downtown Los Angeles commercial building. Two people were killed, three wounded in the mass shooting.
People were running, it was just running, people falling, it's just hard to see.
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Ready to leapfrog your winnings? Head to Quinault Beach Resort and Casino every Thursday, Friday, and Sunday and win up to $5,000 in cash and free play. Every winner earns an entry into the $29,000 giveaway on February 29th. Five lucky winners will walk away with cash and free play with top prize of $18,000 cash, $1,000 free play. So hop on down to the beach. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores. Winners happen here. See Q Club for promotional details.
Connections is a center for healthy families. While all of our work is important, in particular, it is critical that we ensure every child victim of abuse in need of a forensic interview gets one. For more info on how you can help, go to harborconnections.org.
If you are affected by someone else's drinking, you may be able to find experience, strength, and hope from others in Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon. To find meetings in Grays Harbor or Thurston County, call 360-532-3009.
It's Local Matters. Call the show at 360-533-5259. That's 360-533-5259. Here's Johnny Manson.
It's 8:32. We're talking with Ed from Beacon Pest Control. That's beaconpestcontrol.com, 360-289-2751. They're at 502 Damon Road.
No, 2752.
Oh, yeah, 2752. Did I say 2572?
No, you said 2751.
Oh, my bad.
I think you get the city of Ocean Shores with that.
I can't read my own typing.
Yeah.
Hey, did you have a good New Year? Did you stay up and ring in the new year, or did you go to bed?
Yeah, I went to bed.
Yeah. Seems like
okay, I stayed up late playing video games with my son. But
what video games did you play?
Oh, I'm kind of old school, so yeah. It was the Castle Crashers.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a button masher.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's
cool. You get a sword and a hammer, and you get to.
You just smash things?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. I'm going to have to check that one out. Me and the girls and I have been playing Spider-Man 2. That's been a fun one lately. So, and then, of course, Minecraft.
You know, haven't had a video game box now since, good Lord, 2000?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so for my birthday this year, my wife and son decided that I really needed an Xbox. So.
Nice. Nice. Okay, so we were talking about ants, and I have a question about ants.
Sure.
The odorous house ant, don't they look similar to moisture ants?
Yes, they're...
like a layman like me?
Yeah. At first blush, the moisture ant and the odorous house ant can easily be confused.
And then if you smash the odorous house ant and smell it, if it stinks, then you know, hey, that's an odorous house ant, right?
Yeah, that's probably not the best way to identify them, because I can't smell it.
Yeah, okay.
And, I mean, I have a really good sense of smell, but I can't... I've never been able to smell what an odorous house ant smells like.
What's the best way to ID one?
Get a sample, take a look at it.
Yeah.
You know,
just catch one and bring it to you? And you'll be able to tell me?
That's an easy way to do it. If we get a clear photograph, I mean...
A picture. Okay.
Yeah, the cameras in today's cell phones are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And if you get a close-up and the ant's not just a blurry smudge on the...
Right, because they like to move.
Yeah, they seldom hold still. Scotch tape comes in handy. If you can get them to stick their little feet to it, then you can get them to stand still long enough to get a photo. But if you send us a photo, we can identify it.
Okay. And I could do that through the website?
Probably. Yeah, more. If you call and let us know you're sending us a photo, you just drop it in our email and then.
Don't just spam you with.
Yeah, that's what I need, 10,000 photos. Well, on the other hand, you know, if there's 10,000 people out there who have this question, feel free to call me.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if you have an insect question and you can get a photo, then we
But then that moisture ant, this is something I learned from you. The moisture ant is there to tell you that you have moisture somewhere in the house and you need to find that.
Yes. And, that's one of the things that we do is we help identify these so that we go after the right problem.
Right.
Odorous house ants tend to act differently.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that you'll notice about odorous house ants is when you put bait down, they'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
The moisture ant, they'll walk by baits on a regular basis. For whatever reason, I think that they actually grow a fungus that they feed the rest of the colony, and I don't have the research to back it up, but
they got to eat something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not eating the bait.
Nope.
Huh.
Not readily. You know, and there are certain times of year where they'll take it, but it never actually gets rid of the colony.
Hmm.
So, that's one of the things we can quite often an interview with a client will tell us more about which ant it is than even a sample.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay. Wood armor. What is wood armor?
Wood armor is we're kind of skipping over how we treat this stuff, but wood armor is a treatment that we do to houses while they're under construction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's actually a mineral salt of borax that we apply it to all of the wood components of the structure, from the sill plate all the way to the peak of the roof. And borax, being a mineral salt, is it doesn't have any gaseous components to it. There's, borax is something that's incorporated into our detergents, and it's been around for
ever.
Going all the way back to the Egyptians, we know that they used types of salts, borate salts, for doing embalming. But yeah, the nice thing about the wood armor process is that because we're treating all of this structure, borax is a it's not just an insecticide. It does other things. The mineral salts are a fungicide also. And in particular, it has activity against the fungus that causes wood rot. And so the nice thing about it is once it's applied, it's permanent. It stays there for the life of the house. Now, if water gets into the structure, the salts will dissolve, and it'll follow the water wherever the water goes. So it's killing the fungus that, you know, that would typically infest the wood. Mm-hmm. And giving you a longer period of time to respond to that leak. So quite often, instead of having to go in and tear out a bunch of rotted wood, you can go in and just effect a repair, and the wood hasn't started rotting. So it does a lot to reduce the amount of damage that occurs when water gets into a structure.
So can you tell me about other treatments?
Well, there's one other aspect of the wood armor treatment that I do want to touch on, and that is we don't sell this component, but the reality is that borate salts are fire retardant. Mm-hmm. So the wood takes a lot more heat. Mm-hmm. before it will burst into flame. So in that respect, you get the fire retardant as a freebie. You get the fungicide and the insecticidal properties, and it stays in the structure for the life of the house.
So that's a service you offer?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason we do it during construction is it's a one point in time where we can treat everything. Mm-hmm. And typically we come in at about the same time as the insulators. We want to get the application down ahead of the insulators, and then there's a follow-up service that takes place after the insulation is in.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
If you have any questions for Ed at Beacon, you can call us right now at 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. What's next, Ed?
Well, you know, when ants being the topic of the day, the number one approach that is used when dealing with ants, the exception being carpenter ants, is to use bait. Mm-hmm. There are some companies that do baiting for carpenter ants, but my experience with that is that it hasn't been terribly effective. Mm-hmm. And it may just be because of the environment that we live in. This is heavily wooded areas here for the most part, so there's plenty of opportunity, and there's plenty of opportunity to pick off the workers, but not so much opportunity to get down to the queen with those baits. So we haven't found that to be terribly effective with carpenter ants, but with other species of ants, you generally want to start with baits. Mm-hmm. One other exception, of course, is the moisture ant, because the cure for moisture ants is find the water and take it away from them. Because they'll live in that wet wood for years, and no amount of bait seems to get down to them. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of products that we use for ant control. Some of them are growth regulators. What growth regulators do, all insects go through a phase where their bodies have to tell them to become adults. It's kind of like puberty for insects, but they have an organ, mm-hmm. that has to receive a signal from the rest of the body saying, hey, we're, you know, getting old enough, it's time to change gears. What these growth regulators do is interfere with that signal. And the nice thing about growth regulators is that they're chemicals that quite often don't react in the human body, mm-hmm. So they're very low in toxicity. And but it completely screws up the insect's metabolism in the sense that when they go to molt, sometimes they don't get a new skin, or they are badly deformed and incapable of reproducing, so effectively sterile. Okay. And that kind of tool is good to have in the inventory, because it can really have a strong impact on colony size. Mm-hmm. The most effective spray products that that we have are there's a couple of non-repellent, low toxicity products that the ants can't detect it, and so they walk through it without realizing that they're in it. Fipronil is one of the primary agents that we use, and the nice thing about that is that it works at such low dosages that an ant walking through it actually picks up enough product on the outside of its body to contaminate other insects in the colony. So it has that ability to reach down into the colony and actually have an impact on other ants and eventually get down to the queen. And of course, once you get rid of the queen, then you're going to achieve success. So
nice. I got a text. Bug news. That's what we'll call this. Bug news.
Okay, fine.
I don't care what we call it.
Yeah, we do a little column in the Ocean Observer.
Oh yeah.
We just call it pest notes. I don't know if that's. I don't know if it's copyrighted anywhere else in the world, but we just call it pest notes.
Well, it's a quarter till. One more segment here. Ed from Beacon Pest Control on Local Matters.
So you're in the middle of a kitchen update, and you can't tell if that's a faucet stem or a flange. With the Home Depot app, doing doesn't miss a beat. It'll find what you need in a snap, and it'll show you how to find it in store with a tap. Or get it delivered free. For doing that doesn't stop. Download the Home Depot app. It's made for doing.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hearing noises in the wall? Skittering along the ceiling? Freeman Pest Control knows that when rodents get into your home, they won't leave. And with the change of weather, it's the only place they want to be. Freeman Pest Control. They truly care about you and your home, so they treat your house like it's their own. Find them on Google, homeadvisor.com, or call 360-515-6493. Freeman Pest Control.
Manufacturers, processors, distributors, retailers, from Satsup to Westport, your port properties are home to diverse employers in our community. The Port of Grays Harbor is proud to provide the docks, warehouses, roads, utilities, and more that businesses need to create, move, and sell their products. The port will continue to invest in and improve our infrastructure that leverages private investment here in Grays Harbor, which helps create jobs for our family, friends, and neighbors. Your infrastructure, your jobs, your port.
All right. Ed is here from Beacon Pest Control. It's about a quarter till. So this wood armor you've been talking about, it has to be like when I'm building the house? You can do it after the house is built?
The only opportunity we get is before the insulation's put in.
Okay. Unless you tear all the walls off and stuff, you could do it then, maybe?
It happens on occasion.
Okay.
If somebody does a major remodel, we can treat that portion of the house. It's not going to insect-proof the whole house, but, if you've had to rip out a wall because it's been rotted,
why not, right?
Yep, right, yeah. So typical cost is, 2,000 square foot home, you're looking at about $2,500, which is pretty cheap insurance. In doing this, it's $1.25 per square foot per floor. So we don't measure the walls. We assume you have walls. Mm-hmm. Knowing the square footage of the structure gives us the ability to tell you what it's going to cost.
Okay. So just give you a call, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have live people that actually answer the phone.
I won't get, like, Okay. I won't get a phone service or anything? Or?
No, no. It's not going overseas. It's going to beautiful, well, I guess the outskirts of Ocean Shores. That's where the office is. But, yeah, we service everything from Ocean Shores to Olympia and from Matlock all the way down to Raymond and parts of Willapa.
Okay. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about before I start, like, throwing hard balls at you?
Well, if you're going to call us, our number is 800-300-2752, and you can, of course, find us on the web at beaconpestcontrol.com. Of course, there's also we're also on Facebook, so you're welcome to go there and communicate with us, and the girls are very efficient at responding, so that's how you get a hold of us.
I heard a vicious rumor that you had another grandbaby.
I didn't, but yes.
Well, yeah.
someone
that you know.
Yes. Someone in the family.
Yeah.
So my youngest son's wife, they had their first child here. Gosh, it's been almost 3 months now, but, yep. We don't know if she's going to be a redhead. There's red hair in the family, and my wife was a redhead until she became a blonde. And the child's mom is also a redhead. So we can't really tell right now. She's a towhead, so we may have a blonde on our hands.
Okay. Nice. How many grandbabies in total?
Oh my gosh. I'm getting to that stage.
Oh boy.
Well, I've got one son who's trying to repopulate the planet single-handedly.
Okay.
So he's up to 4, and this one makes 5. So, yeah.
Nice. Are you a spoily grandparent?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we try to do things.
Yeah.
You know, so, young families, you know, sometimes struggle a little bit, and so, you know, grandma and grandpa show up, and it's, hey, look, clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Clothes for everybody. We're not heavy on the toys and the junk and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, when the kids are old enough to travel and be left alone with grandma and grandpa, you know, we like to take them places.
Mm-hmm.
We did that for our nieces and nephews when we were young. And just kind of got in the habit of, instead of, you know, exchanging gifts, especially at the holidays, we, you know, give away gift certificates to join us for an event. You know, and so we pile everybody in the RV and go off to, you know, different places. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I guess they get spoiled.
Right. But, you know, time is a lot better than a gift, right?
You know, that was one of the things about the nieces and nephews is that when we moved here, when we left Baltimore, we were the aunt and uncle that they missed because we did all the neat stuff. And we went back, when the kids were adults and they're like, yeah, we're sorry that you moved because we like doing all the fun stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we got 9 more minutes here with Ed from Beacon Pest Control. If you have any pest questions, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can text message or email. That's johnny@jodesha.com. Any vision for the coming year for either you, the family, or Beacon for 2024?
Well, this is the time of year when we sharpen the sword. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of training taking place in-house. Just because of the seasonal nature of pest control, we tend to be a little slower. We're doing a lot of inspections this time of year.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And this is a great time to do inspections because if it's going to get water, it's going to be this time of year.
Right.
So, the guys get down there and I think we're on the order of 400 inspections this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, how far do you service? Grace Harbor, Pacific County? Just Grace Harbor?
Yeah, Grace Harbor, Pacific, parts of Jefferson.
Oh, wow.
So like I say, Ocean Shores to Olympia and Matlock to South Bend.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I think I saw you out in the parking lot the other day, out at the shop. You're sharpening.
Yes,
something.
On occasion I do come to the shop. And that's actually kind of become less of a thing to catch me in the shop because, you know, we have people that are trained to do specific jobs, and when I'm in the shop, I kind of short circuit that process. So sometimes it's best for me to be not in the shop unless I'm delivering information that's critical. So.
Yeah, I saw that nice parking lot you got there.
It's finally done. Oh, my God. I thought it was going to last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you did that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brick by brick.
Yes. The last phase of it took us 3 months. Mm-hmm. I lost 10 pounds, got a terrific suntan on the back of my head. Yes, it was the last of that labor, and I'm glad to have that in the rearview mirror because that was a lot of work.
Any advice to someone who might be thinking about taking on a task of doing a parking lot like that?
Don't call me.
Yeah, don't call you.
I can tell you what I did, but I'm not going to come and help.
Yeah.
Well, my kids are now the beneficiaries of the fact that I have the tools, and so so there's brick patios around the house in Kentucky. And So,
speaking of Kentucky, is that a farm that you have there, or the your daughter's?
Yeah, it's my daughter's buying it from me.
Yeah,
at this point, but she does. Retired horses, and so folks that have horses that have gone beyond their rideable years, they can be pastured there, and she takes care of them. And some of them have teeth and have to be fed mash. Some of them don't have teeth and have to be fed mash. But the vast majority of them run in herds on the property, and then we also raise Angus cattle there. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. And they are tasty. They are grass-fed and grass-finished.
So do you sell that?
We do, but it's a little spendy to ship it to Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'm kind of my own best customer.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, I can't eat 40 cows a year. But
you support your own habit, right?
Yeah, I definitely do. So.
Is that a challenge to be able to do that kind of stuff? I don't know the terminology, farm, cattle?
The nice thing about cattle is that your inventory makes inventory.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as you've got a good bull. So.
Right. So do you have a good bull?
Yeah, so far, so good. Only want one at a time.
Okay.
Because you have to follow your genetics. And unless you're going to really get into it, if you've got 300-400 head of cattle, then, it's going to take more than one bull.
Yeah, that'd be a really tired bull.
You wear them out real quick. Or he'd die trying. But anyway, that's really just kind of a management thing.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part is marketing the beef.
I know that we have like the auctions. The 4-H will have auctions here at the Grace Harbor County Fair.
Yeah.
Does your daughter go to the fairs there with any of your cattle?
No.
I don't know how that works.
No. We're not in 4-H. We're raising cattle for. If you're taking your cattle to auction, you are getting the lowest priced in the market. So, you spend a year and a half raising a cow and you get $1,000 for it. You're not making much headway. So, it's best if you raise the animal and take it to slaughter and then, market the beef directly. So.
And the girls love beef tips and noodles.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Do you have, like, a favorite kind of beef something or just a steak?
The ribeyes.
Yeah?
And I apparently I got a hold of a tenderloin that my daughter was planning on doing something with. But it was delicious, and she helped me eat it. So I'm not handling too many complaints from that arena.
Hey, do you have any job openings there at Beacon?
Not right this second.
Okay.
We certainly will accept applications, and if
something opens up,
If somebody's qualified, and got the skill set. Mm-hmm. We're kind of in that area,
right,
where a skilled person could be brought on.
Now, skilled. Define skilled.
You got a license.
Oh, okay. Cool. Right on.
Yeah, we have...
I could be a transplant that maybe did this field up north or something.
We've had a couple of guys come to us that, mm-hmm. you know, they're already licensed. They're,
right.
And, you know, that's a big help because it's a big right. hurdle.
Right. Because you have to train people, right?
I still have to train the licensed. Yeah. But the unlicensed, we have to start at, you know, page one.
Right.
Teach him the language and right. and the techniques, and it's not just grab a can and go spray something.
Right, right. Yeah. You guys have to go through a lot of education, right?
Oh yeah,
learning things and new policy and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's there's quite an educational process that goes into becoming a pest control operator because you have to. You have to pass the testing from Department of Ag.
Right.
And
that's not you. That's them.
That's not me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The Department of Agriculture has some, I wouldn't call them stringent requirements, but, the requirement is that you take the test. Where was I going with that? The testing process is not intended to make you an expert. Mm-hmm. The testing process is intended to show that you have at least minimal skills, mm-hmm. so that, you know, if you do break the law, they know that you should have known better.
Oh, yeah. You should have known better.
That's right. Because,
page four.
Because we told you. Yeah. And so that's kind of where Ag fits into this. And, mm-hmm. of course, they give us a lot of guidance and such training. Mm-hmm.